that is to be builded for the Lord must be what? Exceeding magnificent. And I don't know what that word means, but I think it's a step up from magnificent. It has to be exceeding magnificent. David said, whatever we're going to do for the Lord, it needs to be off the chain. It needs to be awesome, right? And that's what he was doing. He's going for something that's great, right? And David is preparing all these things for Solomon to do and to build the house of the Lord. And he said, look, it has to be awesome. It has to be magnificent. It has to be magnificent, right? And you see David's desire to build a house for the Lord. You know the temple that Solomon built that David prepared the materials for? That was where the ark dwelt, right? You had the outer court, you had the holy place, and then you had the Holy of Holies, and that's where God met with man, right? That was the place where the Lord God took habitation of, and he was dwelt with the people there, and he would meet them there, and they would do sacrifices there, and that was the place that God met with man. That's where he dwelt among them, right? They'll be my people and I'll be their God. And I think this is too loud. I'm not sure. Is it too loud? You got it? Okay. Help me out now. Help a person out. So, praise the Lord. But, what happened is he gets this all and he's like, man, we're going to make this and he's going to make it awesome and God's going to be here and dwell among us, right? Now, if you fast forward to today, do we have a temple anymore? No. You know where the temple once stood? What's standing there? The Dome of the Rock. It's a Muslim place, right? It's not even a place that has anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ or God or the Ark. It's a place that is opposed to that. And there's no place on earth where there's a temple anymore where you can go and you can meet with God and bring an animal sacrifice and the Lord will meet you there between the cherubim. We don't even know where the Ark is. Indiana Jones couldn't even find it, or maybe he did, but listen, we don't know where it is. We're not sure. We don't know. Okay? And there's all kinds of conspiracy theories about where it is, and I'm sure Alex Jones can find it for you and stuff like that, and I'm sure George Bush did it, hid it, and all that stuff, but look, we don't know where it is. I can't take you to it. There's no temple anymore. But God still meets with man, doesn't he? And God still has a place where he comes to meet with people, doesn't he? So where is that place? Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 2, and towards the end of the chapter, I want you to look at verse 19 or 18. For through him, that's Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. You know, in the Old Testament, the strangers and the foreigners, they couldn't come to the temple and they couldn't meet with God. They first had to be proselytes to Judaism and they had to have the physical sign of circumcision. And there was a lot of things that they had to go through before they could ever go to the temple and bring a sacrifice there. They had to stay in the outer court, the court of the Gentiles. And we all here this morning, we're not from Jewish descent. And the Lord said, we're no more strangers and foreigners. Amen. We don't have to get a green card to go meet with God, praise the Lord. God took the wall down. It was a great wall. And he rent it in twain. Amen. And took it down. And so we could have access to God. And he says this, but fellow citizens, we're Americans here this morning. We're fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. So, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Bezalel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Felipe Soto. Isn't that a blessing? We're fellow citizens. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we have access to God. We don't have to go to a non-existent temple anymore. Right? and are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's important. That Matthew 16:18, Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the foundation. We'll see that. And then it says in verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Who's the building? Who's the temple now? It's the church. It's you. It's me. We're the temple of God. And we'll open that up in a second. In whom also you are builded together for what? You're builded together in verse 22 for an habitation. That's a place where God, like in the Old Testament, He dwelled in the temple. Right? They would go meet them. Now God says, you know what? You are the temple of the living God. You're framed together. You grow together for holy habitation of the Lord. The temple was set apart for God and Him alone. The temple was set apart to sacrifice to God. The temple had one use. It was for the Lord. It was not a multifunction place. It wasn't a family center. It was a God center. Right? And that's how it was. And it says, you're builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, where a lot, it says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but unto carnals as babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, now are ye able. And he's going to teach them the truth, but first he said, look, you guys are a bunch of babies. I have to give you milk, and I have to give you the bottle instead of giving you meat, because you're not able to bear the meat. And the milk says, oh, wow, you are awesome, and maybe if we could just work on this area. And the meat's like, look, dude, you have to change. You are horrible. But I have to, right? He says that you're carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife. You argue with people? You're carnal. Maybe we should stop there. You are carnal. Strife, divisions. You know, the church is supposed to be a holy habitation, a temple with one purpose, to bring glory and honor to God. And you know what we've done? We've turned it into strife and conviction and divisions. One says, I'm a Paul, I'm Apollos, I'm a Cephas, I'm of Christ. You know, lost people, Christians have Baptists and Methodists and non-denominational and rock and roll, right? Or whatever they have, right? And you know, lost people have denominations too. They have Cowboys and Indians and Chiefs and Browns. And when they worship the God of football, they say, I'm of the Cowboys. And I'm of the Spurs and I'm of the Browns, right? Listen, that's not how the Lord is. Listen, I'm a Baptist preacher. But number one, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And where the Baptists are wrong, the Baptists are wrong. The Bible's right. Okay? It doesn't matter. Baptists, Methodists, things like that. I say I'm a Baptist because that's what my doctrine is, and I don't want to hide it. Okay? I want to be honest. I want to be up front. You have to go to Jesus Christ to be saved. The Bible's my authority. After you're saved, you need to get baptized, and that's not part of your salvation. And all these are distinctives that I believe are biblical, because I'm not a Baptist because I'm a Baptist, because it lines up with the Bible. Right? The Bible, number one. And all these divisions are not good. Right? That's what the Lord says. And so, that's what carnal Christians do, and they make all these divisions. You know, there's two kinds of people in this world, saved and lost. There's two kinds of Christians in this place, spiritual and carnal. There's not any in between. Are you a spiritual Christian or you're a carnal Christian? Say, what's a carnal Christian? Strife, envy, and divisions. Cliques. Right? The only way you don't like a clique if you're not part of it. Right? There's cliques. Okay, go join the clique, dummy. Right? And then there won't be a clique. We'll all clique together. Or is there strife and divisions? Right? But what? Spiritual. And then he says this in verse 9. He says, for we are laborers together with God. We work with God. Ye are God's husbandry. That's His plant, His vine. Ye are God's building. Okay? And then he says, I've a wise master builder laid the foundation, and that's Christ. And in verse 12, you build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, ore, wood, hay, and stubble, right? And then he says in verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? You see, some people, Jesus laid the foundation and we're supposed to build on. Some people use quality materials to build the temple, gold, silver, precious stones. Some people build their temple out of wood, hay, and stubble. And some people do this in verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, which the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. The question, do you know that you are the temple of God? We are both individually, Michael by himself is a temple, and we are corporately, where two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst. We're individually a temple, and we're corporately a temple. Right? And what he's talking about here is the corporate temple. Okay? We come together and we grow together as a habitation of the Lord. Ye are God's building. Do you know that? Hopefully we know that. He said, do you know? If that's something he wants to build upon, do you know that you're the temple? If you know you're the temple this morning, we're the temple this morning, say amen. Okay. We're the temple. Now, look at what he says in verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God what? Now, what would you think if you came in church this morning, there was graffiti sprayed everywhere all over the walls, and the carpet was ripped up, and the piano had a fire on it, and there was a dead dog laying over here, and there was a bunch of bums passed out over here with their booze bottles beside them. You would say, oh, what is going on? This is God's place. This is the place we're supposed to meet. This is God's house, and you would be all upset. But you know what's worse than that? Some of you guys allow sin in your temple and you bring sin in the church. That's worse than the bums laying over. One time there was a guy that walked into this church and he smelled like that which cometh from a man, and it was all over him. And he sat over there and I started preaching over here, and the stench got worse and worse, and he was either going to have to leave or everyone else was going to have to leave. And somebody said, how could you defile the church like that? Listen, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. God did not like it when they put idols in his temple. God did not like it when they repurposed it and joined the house of the Sodomites to the house of the temple. And by the good night, they are joining the house of the Sodomites to the church. Right? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. And you know what? I got to thinking, David wanted to make something magnificent for God and magnifical, and he wanted to make an awesome place where God dwelt. And I was thinking, we Seth Baptist Church, do we want to have a holy temple? Do we want to have an awesome place where God is welcome? Or do we want to have a defiled, profane place where God doesn't want to dwell? You see, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of me. You know what the Bible says? Grieve not the Spirit of God whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. How can I grieve the Lord? How can I grieve the Holy Spirit? Yeah, you ever watch that show Hoarders? Okay? And say, no, I don't watch the show Hoarders, but maybe there's a reason for that. I don't know. Throw it away! Amen? You don't need coffee cans from 1982. Prince Albert tobacco cans, get rid of them. There's no coffee in them. But anyway, I watched this thing when we were in Oregon, and they had a TV at the place we were staying, and this lady, man, there were piles of trash everywhere. And she was just throwing stuff down, and there were animals and rats and children, and I said, man, I feel sorry for those kids. I can't believe they would have to live in a place like that. Let me ask you this. How does the Lord feel about dwelling in your temple? Are you a sin hoarder? Do you grieve Him? Do you make Him uncomfortable? Have you defiled the temple? What does it mean to defile? Now you see, I'm drinking water up here. Now what if I just got a little bit of dirt and sprinkled it in there? Would you want the water? Defiled. It's sin. And the Bible says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Listen, when we have company over, we go through the house and we make sure the counters are clean and we make sure things are picked up and we make sure things are in the kids' room. And we take the litter box and we put it in the closet. And we say, welcome to our house. And you know the place we don't take them? The closet. I try to put the cat in there as well, but that didn't go over too well. But I said, they're going to know we have a cat, and that's embarrassing. So we put the litter box there, right? And there's a room in your house, if you have guests, you probably are not going to show them, right? When people come into the church, and the Lord comes into the church, are you the room, are you the place that, Lord, welcome? Yeah, don't go in that room. You see, we're building blocks for the temple. We're boards. We're rooms. We're places where God dwells. And you know what some people have done? They've defiled their temple and they put a litter box in it. And let me ask you, what's your temple like this morning? He said, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. What does that mean? If anyone messes up the temple, God's going to mess him up. If anyone destroys the temple, God's going to destroy him. You will destroy his temple and he will destroy you. Now that's serious, don't you think? So how do you defile? Listen, you don't want to take a bath. That's just stewing in your own filth. You want to take a shower. Let it all go down the drain, right? It might be clean water, but as soon as you get in it, you defile it. And listen, it might be a nice temple. But maybe as soon as you come in, it's like allowing cats in the temple. They start defiling it. And how is this going to happen? Take your Bible and look at two places. Leviticus chapter 15. Keep your hand here because we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 31. How are you going to defile your temple? Leviticus chapter 15. You can, number one, defile it through outward sins. Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 31. Is God comfortable here, or do you grieve Him and make Him uncomfortable? 15 and look at verse 31. The Bible says, thus shall ye separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness. And this is all kinds of things. If they touched a dead body, you know what I mean? Listen, the priest wasn't supposed to go into the temple unless he had first washed in the brazen laver. And it says that he die not. He was supposed to put bells around his So the Lord knew that he was coming and it was obvious. And if he didn't do that, he would die not. And he had to have that garment on that he die not. And he had to have the anointing oil that he die not. And he couldn't offer strange fire that he die not. And he had to bring the blood of a sin offering once a year that he die not. Right? If you were to defile it, and God would smote you. He would cut you off. He would get rid of them. He said, don't let them come in here. If you, it says in verse 31, that you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not in their uncleanness when they defile my what? Tabernacle that is among them. So, don't come in. You know what he's saying? If you defile my temple, I'm going to defile you. If you destroy my temple and its holiness, then I'm going to destroy you. Right? Through outward sins, things that you did. You say, I need something more specific. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and look at verse 15. On your way to 15, look at verse... On your way to 15, look at verse 13. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication. What is your body? The temple. It's not for fornication, but for what? For the Lord. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now look at verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. Now, by the way, if you could lose your salvation, that would not be possible. It's possible for an Israelite to bring a Midianite woman in before the congregation. That's possible. And he says, what? Know ye not that he that is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. God gave you a body to worship Him with. He gave you a body to be set apart for the sole purpose of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God gave you a body. It's a tool to serve God with. It's a tool to worship God with. It's a tool to bring God sacrifice. And how can you defile the temple so God will then destroy the temple? You can do it by outward sins, and one of those outward sins is fornication. Okay? And now, fornication is sleeping with someone if you're not married to them, but it's more than that. It includes all immoral uncleanness that has to do with your body in that way, flesh joining flesh, or in your mind, or things like that. And you know what? I'll tell you this, that this is a progressive sin. It starts in your mind and it ends in the grave. And you know what? This stinking modern church that we're part of, the Laodicean church, hopefully we're not a part of it, fornication has become absolutely accepted. Hollywood has glamorized it and promoted it. And let me tell you one thing. It is against God and it is not okay with the Lord. God is not okay with fornication. Your body is not made for fornication but for the Lord. How do you defile the temple? Well, you can do it through fornication. And Hollywood glamorizes it and says that it's okay, but it's absolutely wrong. And let me tell you something about that sin. There's a spirit involved with it, and the Bible calls it the spirit of whoredoms. And there's a draw to it. People get involved with it, and they get that spirit on them as a young person, and there's a draw to it, and there's an attraction to it, and there's an excitement to it that they don't want to give up. And you know what? Listen, my body is designed and made to worship the Lord with. Okay? And if I take my body and I join it with a harlot or somebody, how in the world can a child of God be joined together with a lost person knowing that they're on their way to a devil's hell and not care about it? How can that happen? Do you not care about their soul? Do you want to pick up their evil spirits? Do you want to be friends with the enemy of God? Do you want to lay in a place with somebody that's against God? And you know what they do? They're like Eli's kids. They lay in with the women in the congregation. They're bringing it into the church and it grieves God. God said this is a holy place and you're bringing all this sin and fornication and filthy, vile, disgusting things in here, and God is not okay with it, and you can defile the temple of God, and you will get that thing right, or God will destroy you. It's not what I said, that's what the Bible says. And you know what? I know that there's a lot of people, look, repent. Don't glamorize it. Don't say, oh, I wish I could go back to the bad old days. Listen, the days that are gone are gone. Thank God they're gone. They were evil days. And don't live in this place of guilt and shame. Get it right with God. Get it forgiven. Get it under the blood, but get it taken care of. The Lord said you weren't supposed to bring the price of a whore or the price of a dog into the congregation. He didn't accept it. And it has to do with worship. Look, fornication and that kind of uncleanness would be like me saying, boy, I wish we could worship Buddha here. You know, I wish we could get rid of the Bible here and put a statue of Buddha there. Why is it wrong to worship Buddha? Your temple is meant to worship and serve God with. Know ye not? What? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, what part he that believeth with an infidel? They're joined unto idols and Eli's sons, they would do that. And you know what happened to Eli's sons? They died. You know what happened to Eli? He died because he didn't restrain his sons and God killed him and he fell over backwards. And there's something to that thing that has a draw to it. And you know what? They say this, they say release the beast, but you know what God did when he just cleansed the temple? You know the first thing he did? He got the animals out of there. Didn't he? Can you think about the mess the animals were making? They were doing their business in the temple and it stank and it was defiling and it was becoming unclean. And the Bible says man is born like a wild ass's colt. He's born into trouble. Right? And if you want to serve God, you have to get the animal out. You have to get the wild out. You have to get the beast out. Don't release the beast. Kill him and get him out. Right? You have to get the evil out if you want to serve God with your temple. At the place that we're serving, it needs to be exceeding magnificent, doesn't it? It needs to be awesome. God meets us here. It needs to be clean. Say, preacher, why would you preach on this? Because it affected everybody in here. And some of us, some of the people in here, it's still affecting. And you think God's going to meet with us and we're going to have revival and oh, God's going to show up and great things are going to be done. Yeah, after Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas died, there will great things happen. After you get rid of the house of the Sodomites, great things will happen. After Phinehas takes a javelin and he goes and finds the people that come before the door of the congregation and he strikes them through the belly with a javelin and sticks them to the ground like a shish kebab, then great things will happen. You say, preacher, that's not nice. That is the Bible. And that's how the plague was stayed and kept off everyone. That's how the place was made clean when Phinehas got his shish kebab out and drilled him to the ground. Say, why are you, what's going on? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. You can't be right with God and involved in perverted things. You cannot. You can't worship God and look at horrible things and think God's going to have anything to do with that. What are you saying? I'm saying, look, there can be victory. God can set you free. God can use your temple for a holy habitation of the Lord. Dearly beloved, Peter says, he's not being mean. I beseech you, I'm begging you, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. They try to get your soul. They try to destroy you. The foolish woman is clamorous. She's simple, knowing nothing. She calls to the passengers that go on the way. She's on the billboard. She's on the internet. And she's calling, saying, come. The goodman of the house is gone. Nobody's going to know. I have decked my beds with tapestries and myrrh and fine linens of Egypt. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. That's what she says. And she says, stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Whoso is simple, dumb, ignorant, let him turn in thither. Him that wanteth understanding, but he knoweth not that the dead are therein, and her guests are in the depths of hell. Flee youthful lusts. It's not okay. Say, what's the answer to it? Now, 1 Corinthians 7:1, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman have her own husband. Well, I don't want to marry him. Then dump him, and thank God that you dumped him. And if he ever comes back, tase him. Pepper spray. And get it on video. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't think you should just get married. Look, that's what the Bible says, okay? You're not going to find a wife on the computer. You're not going to find a husband on, well, maybe you will, but I don't mean that way. You know what I'm talking about. Stop looking at that junk and go get a book, Dating for Idiots. Learn how to talk to a woman. Put on some deodorant. Brush your teeth, comb your hair, get some nice clothes, but stay off the stinking computer. Amen? Lord, help us. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. You can defile it through outward sins. And number two, this is the first of 7 points. No, I'm just kidding. You can defile it through inward sin. Look at Ezekiel chapter 44. But he doesn't want to be dumped. Well, just let him listen to this message and say, this is the reason I'm dumping you. Listen to it and give me the cliff notes. Tell me what it meant to you. Praise the Lord. This is fun. Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 6. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, ye house of Israel, let it suffice you in all your abominations, in that you have brought into my sanctuary children, strangers, people that aren't saved, they're uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh to my sanctuary to pollute it. He said, you've done these things and you brought them in to pollute or to defile it, even my house. You have not kept the charge of mine holy things in verse 8. You set keepers of my charge in the sanctuary for yourselves. Thus saith the Lord God, no stranger uncircumcised in heart or uncircumcised in flesh shall enter into my sanctuary. You know what? You can defile it through inward sins. Mark chapter 7. You know what? There's the outward sins that are obvious that you can defile the temple of the Lord with. And there's also inward sins that you can keep and accumulate in the closets of your heart to where it makes it an uncomfortable place for God. And you'll either get those, if somebody's in a house long enough, they'll open the closet. And when God opens the closet, He needs permission to throw the litter box out. And you can defile your temple by inward sins that you will not, you uncircumcised in heart, you don't have the right heart. Look at verse 14, Mark chapter 7 and verse 14. And the Bible says here, verse 13, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. And when he had called unto them the people, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Now we're talking about defilement in your temple. There is nothing from without a man that can entering into him can defile him. You can eat lobster if you want. But the things which come out of the man, those are they that defile the man. If any man hears to ear here, let him hear. And they asked him about this, and he says in verse 19, the end of verse 18, do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart. It's the heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, that's the septic system, purging all meat. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. From within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. See, these are the inward sins that you can defile your temple with. Adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness. Do you think God is going to get much out of your temple as long as you allow these things to remain there? Some of you are waiting on the death angel and the undertaker to get their schedules synced up. And the reason is because there's all kinds of evilness in your heart that you haven't allowed God to get out of your heart, and you keep it there, and you're defiling the temple by inward sin. And when you refuse to clean out your temple, you eventually get evicted. We worked at an apartment complex in Pensacola, Florida. And there were people that would not take care of their apartments. And as a result, the cockroaches would show up. And then the people beside them and upstairs would start complaining about cockroaches. And so if the people to the left and the people to the right have cockroaches and the people upstairs have cockroaches and you treat them and the cockroaches don't go away, the problem's in the middle and the heart of the complex. Right? And you know what we do as preachers? We're spraying cockroaches and putting out fires all the time. But the problem's in your heart. That's where the cockroaches are coming from. They're coming out of the heart and they're defiling the temple because you have cockroaches in your heart. Evil thoughts and adultery, fornication, jealousy, and all these things are coming out and they're defiling the temple. And you know what we would do? We would go in there and we'd say, there's no hope for this place. We would evict them so we could take care of the cockroaches. And you know what the Lord will do? He'll evict you because He wants His temple to be clean. There's a lot of people here that are not here this morning because I was just stupid and made mistakes. But there's also a lot of people that are not here this morning because they got evicted. And there was a spiritual cancer that was eating away as their soul. And you can go to church for years and years and be no better on the inside, but only being better on the outside. You know what the Lord said about the Pharisees? He said, you make clean the outside, put on suits and you get haircuts, and but inside you're full of dead men's bones. And there's a lot of people, God help you, you're sitting on church, in church on the pew, and man, you got nice clothes on and you guys look wonderful. But inside, there's a whole mess of roaches. And there's a lot of cancer and it's just eating away. And everywhere you go, it's just cancer and cockroaches, and they spill out and they get on other people, and you're jealous and you're mean and you're vindictive and you're full of sin. And you know what you're doing? You're grieving God and you're defiling His temple. And you know what the Lord wants to do? He wants to use His temple. And when the Lord was here, you know what He did? He went to the temple and He said, "You've made my Father's house a den of thieves." He said, "You have taken God's house, my Father's house, and you have used it for your own personal gain." And you know what a lot of Christians do? They take their temple, the house of God, and you use it for your own personal gain. You don't use it for God, to worship God, to be a holy habitation for God. You use this for your personal gain and what you can get. And you know what the Lord did? He came there and He got a whip and He drove out the animals and He got everything out of there. And then the children started praising the Lord. Right? And then, guess what happened? The animals came back in. The money changers came back in. And the Lord went back and He cleaned out the temple again and He said, "This is my house and you've made it a den of thieves. My house." And then before He left this, He said, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, your house is left to you desolate." And what much longer after that, He destroyed the temple and it's never ever been rebuilt again. They got evicted because they didn't use it for the Lord, they used it for personal gain. Let me ask you, have you prepared a magnificent place? A magnificent place for the Lord? Have you built on that? Have you put gold, silver, and precious stones? Have you put new pews in your heart for the Lord? Have you done that? Have you hung chandeliers in your heart so when the Lord walks in, He's like, man, I love it when preachers come, they haven't been here a while, and they're like, "Man, I love what you've done. You've put new carpet and chandeliers, and man, this place is really starting to look sharp, and man, I love what you've done with this place." And I love to hear that. We love to hear that as a church, don't we? But you know what would even be better if the Lord comes in and He says, "Man, look, Brother Phil, man, your heart, I just feel at home here. Brother Brad, I just feel at home here. And I love what you've done with the place. Look, it's magnificent." "Well, Lord, you know, it was only you that provided. And Lord, it took me a long time to get this junk out of here. And it left some scars, but you've touched these scars up. And I've gotten all this out. And Lord, look what you've replaced it with. And now the spiritual chandeliers are lit up when the Lord comes in." Boy, I love. Is the temple at Wheaton Baptist Church, is it magnificent? Is the temple of your heart, is it magnificent? Or is there a lot of cockroaches and cobwebs and cat litter in the closet and animals, lust and fornication, jealousy and anger and envy and strife? What's your temple like? If I can have the piano player come, and if you'll stand, bow your heads and close your eyes. How's the temple? Brother Josh is going to start to play, and look, if God spoke to your heart and He showed you some cobwebs to clean out and closets that you need to go through, why don't you come down to this altar and dump them all out? Open them up. Get the junk out of the drawers, the things that are hiding. What's your temple like? Have you prepared it to be magnificent? Look, we have the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth, that wants to dwell in His house, in His temple. Is it habitable? Is it clean? Would He feel comfortable there? Have you cleaned out a room in your heart so the Lord Jesus Christ can come by?